Hi, my name is Pat, and I am a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to do a commentary on day 82, and I'll start by reading again those verses on the top from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. I remember when I found these verses and how, oh my goodness, it was like they were written for me. It was like, thank you for giving me a teaching that I can do as I encounter people who just seem to come out with their boxing gloves out, and so that I can learn how to interact with them without having the bitterness and resentment that would just come over me when I would have to deal with that. And the first thing that I had underlined in the passage was that must not quarrel. And I find that I had to put down even in my mind, because the majority of my quarreling would happen in my thinking. By nature, I'm not a quarrel. I'm not a fighter in that way. I'm more of a subversive fighter, if I'm honest. It's like, I'll sit back and I won't say anything, but boy, I tell you, that mind could be going, you know, a mile a minute, tearing the person, you know, up into shreds in my mind and thinking, which is a horrible thing to do. And it's horrible for them because, of course, I'm not going to have any love in my heart for them. And it's horrible for me, too, because it erupts in all kinds of addictions and whatever. When they say it in the 12-step room that resentment is the number one offender, for me, this is what they were talking about, because I did most of my quarreling with people in my mind. And this passage is saying to me, if I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I have to scratch quarreling off my list of to-do things. I cannot do that. And when I find myself quarreling, I immediately now get into prayer, because I can't handle it, you know. I really can't. It says later on, further on, it says, instead, he must be kind to everyone. One of the things that finding out as I get older and older, that all people, regardless of their nation, what nation they come from, their creed, their color, their age, they recognize sincere kindness. You know, even people who are cautious, after a while, they do, when they see that you are sincerely being kind to them, it's almost as if they melt. They melt, you know, and they kind of, you know, they let down their guard, and they just respond to kindness. And so it is no surprise to me that the Lord has placed in his word that that has to be on the top of my to-do list, is to be kind to everyone. Again, it's not like to have that selective kindness, you know, that, oh, okay, that's my friend, I'm going to definitely be kind to her, but, you know, this person, forget her, you know, I'm not going to be kind to her, you know. And this verse is saying to me to be kind to everyone. And then it says, able to teach. And I realize that God gives me the ability to teach through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. I do know that teaching is a talent for me. It was given even before I even knew the Lord. I knew I had a propensity of wanting to teach. That was just, you know, a talent. But I know that as children of God, I look around, I realize that we all are teachers. We all are put into positions where we are going to have to pass on freely what has been given to us. And so if teaching is a universal gift, I realize that, you know, it also has been empowered in all of us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a counselor. He is a teacher. He reminds us of everything that Jesus taught. It says that in John 14:26, you know, that he will remind us, he helps us, he teaches us, and Jesus is a teacher, and if we walk in his footsteps, then we will be teachers as well. And so the ability to teach is God-given. It says, able to teach, not resentful. And again, resentfulness for me, you know, plays out in bitterness and jealousy. And my bitterness is steeped, actually, in jealousy and unforgiveness. When I don't forgive people, or I am jealous that they seem to be getting away with something, and I kind of wish that I could get away with it, you know, I must pray to have it removed. I used to be quite a bitter, recovering, compulsive overeater. You know, it's like I wanted to go and, you know, blow up, you know, every bakery or anything, you know, or talk down any food stuff that I wasn't eating. You know, and I realized, you know, that was steeped in my jealousy. And I had to come to terms that I had to let that go. I had to let go even the unforgiveness of myself of having abused the food. You know, like I tell my own children, you know, don't abuse it, then you won't lose it, you know. And so I did abuse it. So it's lost to me. And so I just need to just let that go. You know, that's how it is. But God is good. You know, he hasn't taken anything away from me without giving me something better. You know, that there are certain things that I can't do when it comes to food. One of the biggest things is that I don't have a casual relationship with food. You know, I can't just saunter into some place and go, wonder what I'm going to have, you know. I've lost an ability. It's gone, you know. So it's all right, you know. And he has given me a way to nourish my body and actually to enjoy what he has given to me and to let it go. And so I cannot have bitterness definitely about my disease, life goes on. In my recovery, I do what needs to be done by his grace, not to get into self-pity about it, you know. Yes, I have to do a fair amount of preparing at times, especially if I have to go somewhere, go out of town or whatever. It's like not like the normal, pack and go for me. It takes some thinking about what needs to be done. It says later on in that passage, those who oppose him, he must gently instruct. And the gentleness is the thing that really hit home with me. And the understanding that the wall is broken down, not by force, but by gentleness. And I can even remember this when I was a young child. I was in grade school, and there was a little story that we read in school in one of the readers. And it was about this man who had a cloak. He had on this cape. And it was the sun and the wind. They were having this contest. And the wind said, I can make that man take off that cloak. And he said, now watch me. And so the wind started blowing and blowing and blowing as hard as it could. And as the harder he blew, the more the man clutched to his cloak. He kept that cloak even tighter to him as the wind blew. And so after a while, the wind said, okay, it's your turn. And so the sun, what he did, the sun just smiled. He smiled his little beams of sunshine on this man. And the man, after a while, he eased up and he let that little cloak go and he took it off. And I remember that as a child. It was like, whoa, okay, you know. So the wind was blowing real hard and the man, you know, held on to his cloak. And the sun, it was shining very gently, and he let it go. And I realized that I have to remember that and to use that. I had a opportunity to use that the other day with my son. I have two adult children living at home. One, my son who is 20, and my daughter who is 29. And it's a new experience for me because at that age I was out of the home. You know, I couldn't wait to get out of the home. But they're here, and so I have to deal with them at times. Being under my roof, there's certain things that I still need for them to do. And this particular child, I had asked him to do something, and he was still had not done it. And as I was thinking about it, I was having an argument, quarreling in my mind with him downstairs. I went, what should I do? And I prayed about it, and I thought, you know what? So I went over to him at his desk, and I actually got on, I was kneeling down to get eye level with him because he was sitting down, and I said, you know what, I'm not trying to be mean to you. And I explained to him exactly what my thinking was, and my voice was kind and whatever. And he got up and he did what needed to be done. And it was like, thank you, Lord, that I didn't have to get into, you know, having blows with him, you know, about this thing again that I needed him to do. And I also keep in mind, too, that's how Satan, you know, Satan misuses that. And so I have to be on guard against that as well. That Satan has a history of misusing that. He has taken what is good and made it seem bad, and what is bad, he has tried to make it seem good. And so the Bible says that he masquerades as an angel of light. And so that is why we are warned over and over again to not do that. That when we love a person, to be sincere in that love. It says that in Romans 12:9, love must be sincere, because that's the way the devil works. He works by loving insincerely, because he's trying to lure people away. It says later on in that verse, those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hopes that God will grant them repentance. Repentance is the ability to turn away. And this is a God-given ability. And I realize that abstinence is repentance. It is God-given. So, you know, sometimes I look at people who don't know the Lord yet, and keep in mind that I did not know the Lord. And so when I did not know him, that it was a God-given gift. He had given me the ability to repent, to walk away from compulsive overeating, because he cared about me and he loved me so much. And so that is an ability to turn away, to repent. So when I see other people in the rooms who don't know the Lord yet, and yet they're able to stay abstinent, I have to still give God the glory, because he's the one that is giving them that ability to do that. And so I have to know, too, that he has me there for a reason, to tell about him. And if necessary, someone says, use words, but I definitely tell about him by staying abstinent and being kind and loving. It says leading them to a knowledge of truth. And I have to remember that knowledge provides a wake-up call. It does help me to break through that denial, which I'm grateful. And it says it hopes that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil. When I did not know Jesus, I did not have the protection of the blood. The blood of Jesus is a protector. It's a lot like when you read in the Old Testament in Exodus about the Israelites putting that blood on their doorposts so that they are protected from the death angel, who killed the firstborn of those who did not have that covering. And it's the same thing true about my Christian walk, is that the Lord has given me His Son, the blood of His Son, as a covering against that evil. The devil cannot snatch me out of the hand of God. And that is a covering that I have because of the blood of Jesus that I have accepted in my life. Down in the reading where it calls the patient teacher, in that last paragraph, it said that Jesus had a deep desire to reach the heart of the lost. And I have to remember that, especially when I'm interacting with people. Again, I know many people who have taught me how to stay abstinent physically and still teach me by their example, but they don't know Jesus yet. And sometimes, their snide behavior sometimes turns me in the wrong direction. And then I have to remember, they are where I was. They are lost, and they need compassion and prayer, and they need a helping hand. And that's what it's all about. That's why the Lord keeps me with them. So that just as someone taught me about Him and told me about Him, then I should do the same thing with them. But I'm going to stop. I want to thank you again always for letting me share.